This is the Blue Room. 1 hour, everything Everton.
Radio City Talk.
Good evening, welcome to the Blue Room on Radio City Talk with me, Peter McPartland. I'm joined in the studio tonight by Dave Darney and Andy Craven from the Everton Supporters Trust. Good evening, gents.
Good evening, Pat.
All right.
Evening, all right.
Good to see you. Are we all happy? I think we should be.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's been a good couple of weeks, hasn't it?
It has been all right, hasn't it? We are live in the studio. If you want to get in touch, you just fire some questions over on Twitter. It is at the Blue Room EFC. Get some good questions and we'll read them out. But I've got a question for you two lads, right? I haven't even told you what this is. Andy sort of guessed it off here. Mario Balotelli, what's all that about? No, honestly, genuine question, everything being equal, with Everton the way they are with the strikers, at 5-11 next Wednesday, if we haven't done anything and Mario Balotelli's suddenly available, and let's just say for instance, Coney's not fit for one reason or another, I'm not going to say why he wouldn't be fit, but would you take Mario Balotelli?
Definitely not. No, I think he's got too much baggage. I think too many managers have had a go to try and manage him. Conte, Mancini, Rodgers, Klopp, and none of them, Mourinho, and none of them have been able to get the best out of him. Koeman is a disciplinarian, so I can't see it being a fit. So the answer to the question is no, unless you can guarantee me he scores 3 goals in the Anfield derby.
The sort of devil's advocate inside me says yeah, because let's lay the facts down. Is he better than Aruna Kone? Yes, he is. But so am I. But, that's unfair after he scored a couple last night against Yeovil. But I think what Andy said is absolutely true. I think there's too many managers who've been there, done that and tried and come away reeling from it, actually. I don't think he has any sort of positive impact at any club that he was at. I think Man City, they got away with managing him because they had such a wealth of talent. You look where he's been elsewhere in his career and he's ruffled feathers and come away from it. Part and company with the club, and it hasn't been nice at all. I think there's any city that he's left where he hasn't left a trail of chaos behind him. But
you might want to ask his landlord.
Well, yeah,
about
exactly.
That one
exactly. But he's a talented lad. The thing. That's the thing about it. I mean, I look at players like that. Look at others like Tarabt at QPR, formerly. The players like that who've got all the talent in the world And somehow they ended up blowing it, and I think it's probably an indictment of what finances can do to young lads when they get hold of it. And he's just too much of a loose cannon for me, Ped. So, but then again, like I go back to it, he's probably better than Kone. He's probably better than De La Feo up front. So I mean, beggars can't be choosers, can they? Well, can they? I don't know.
Is there any substance to the story?
I don't know. I mean, I would probably think. It might be one of these, these rumours that get put online.
Did you have the same agent as Lukaku, is that right?
I don't know if he still does, but he did.
He falls out with people by the day.
Yeah, he definitely, I think Mano Raiola was definitely his agent.
It seemed to come through the betting market, didn't
it? It does, didn't it?
And whether someone's just gone out and had £20 on it and all the betting companies have then thought, oh, someone knows something here, we better cut them into
But also, though, these
Liverpool's official betting partner that was one of the partners that put them into 1-2.
But these things pop up, especially on the likes of Twitter, because what tends to happen is, on the sly, I think some of these betting companies have a few accounts, a few transfer rumour accounts, and they know if they get it out there, then suddenly people will start betting. The market gets hot, and suddenly they've just created a market. Allegedly, I'm just saying allegedly, yeah. They just created a market that didn't actually exist. I think they did it earlier in the pre-season when we were linked with the German manager, Jakob Löw. That came out, and it was like, oh, where did this come from? Oh, I've got a feeling I know where it come from. So the only thing that I think we were onto something before. I think there's always going to be a manager out there who thinks they can tame him. Yeah. But I don't think that's Koeman. Well, I don't think Koeman's stupid enough to think he can tame him.
Would you take him, Ped?
Do you know what? There's that little voice in the back of my head that says, I'd imagine he was boss. Imagine how much fun we could have with Balotelli if he was boss.
The thing is, if he was good, then he'd be off like a shot as well. Like, that's the thing. He doesn't hang around, does he?
I could just imagine him scoring at the cop end, though, holding the t-shirt up, going, "It's me," as opposed to "Why only me?" And there's that sort of element of the thing about, you know what, we'll just have him.
The thing about it as well is he'd definitely come. I reckon he'd definitely come. He's not bothered by anything like that at all, is he? He's just he's ruthless.
No, when he played for Inter Milan, he told everyone AC Milan was his team. He didn't care less. He didn't care less. He just said, yeah, I play for Inter Milan. I'm a professional footballer. It's like the whole thing where he says, when I score, I don't celebrate because it's like when a postman puts a letter through the door. He was the same there. And then he got his move to AC Milan and, again, didn't do anything. But, you know, it's a stupid rumour. I just thought, I just wanted to get your initial reactions because I just think...
It's a fun one, isn't it? It's a good bit of fun, but I don't think there's any...
I don't think we're in that position. Maybe this time last year, we might have been in a position where, we might have been forced into that. But I don't think at the moment, this moment, with a week to the window shut, I don't think we have to worry too much about that. But talking about Koeman and being a disciplinarian, Saturday, how important do you think that substitution was, you know, 37th minute, I think it was.
Yeah.
1-0 behind to West Brom. Listen, we weren't playing badly, but every time the ball went forward, it wasn't sticking. It was coming back and we were causing our own problems. He takes James McCarthy off, who's stuck out on the right again, put Lukaku on and it changed the game. And for me, I think, certainly as a fan, that just woke me up and just went, this fella's not messing about. He means business.
And I agree. I think, you know, it pulls apart from where we were this time last year. You know, we put the same team out as played against Tottenham. He basically thought, you know what, I've gone with it. It wasn't working. He made a change, which, you know, had a positive impact. I think the other side of it is he basically said to the players on the pitch, look, guys, I'm not waiting till the 60th minute. If this isn't working, I'm prepared to change it and I'll change it as soon as possible. And rightly so, and it worked. And as you say, he means business. And, you know, glad to hear it.
It takes bottle to make those decisions as well, Ped. Yeah. I think we've sort of found that with Martinez towards the end, that was where he, one of the many sort of facets to him falling apart towards the end was his lack of bravery and being able to do that and picking his favourites and not being able to manage. I mean, his in-game management was always under question when we were good. Yeah. It was something that was always under the microscope, and I think Koeman's underlined that he's no-nonsense in situations like this. I doubt you'd ever get him admitting that he got it wrong, but I think in many ways, I mean, I posed the question on Twitter after the game. I know we can do no wrong at the minute in the eyes of every Evertonian, but the fact that he made the substitution is an admission, whether they like it or not. That is an admission that he's done it wrong. It's pragmatic, isn't it? And first of all, you've got to say well done to him for putting out the same side that played so well against Spurs in the first half. I was surprised as anybody. When we'd had the new signings on the bench as well, I thought somebody had at least come in. The only, you know, figures that I'm the one who gets down about it a little bit is, I thought it was a little bit too obvious that West Brom had sort of suffocated us playing that same side. I don't know what he thought he could get out of putting McCarthy on that side with a centre-half playing at left-back, because when someone gets up James McCarthy's backside, for want of a better phrase, then that's when he's nullified. I mean, I thought... And to be fair to him, I don't think De La Feu or Morales helped him out too much on that side. He was isolated. Everything went backwards when he got the ball. But, you know, the proof's in the pudding. Fantastic after half an hour to say, look, it's not working out. Lukaku get changed. Come on. Completely different dimension. I mean, how Lukaku played's a contentious issue because of everything else that's going on with him. But I actually thought shape-wise it was perfect for us. He gave us an outlet. I don't think he was great. I thought he did a job that was asked of him, and he allowed everything else to happen around him. And, you know, fair play to Koeman for recognising that and making a change so early. It's a great sign to all of us who sort of, you know, we sat there last season suffering from the fact that we weren't willing to change things. Here's a manager who spots it and almost instantaneously says, look, this isn't working, let's try something new. You go on and win the game 2-1.
I must admit, something you said there actually got in me when you're saying everyone loves at the moment. I'm staying open-minded about Koeman just because I don't want to fall into that trap again. I'm staying very open-minded about him. But what I think was interesting was that, you know, I know it's into what you're saying there about it, you made a mistake. But watching Lukaku last night, I don't think he's anywhere near fit yet. You know, we'll talk about that game in the second part of the show, but I don't think he's anywhere near fit. And I just think he probably had to start that team more than anything else. And he did. I think he said literally the first press conference he came in, he said, if you play well, you keep the shirt. Yeah. So I suppose that's got something to do with it. He's come in, and I believe the first day off they got was the Monday after the first game. So he's ran them hard all pre-season. he's a disciplinarian, we all know that. So I suppose he's got to stick to his word, though, as well. He's got to stay true to what he said to his players, and what he must have said to his players was, you play well, you stay in the team. You know, and okay, it hasn't worked out. He's made the change. He'll hold his hands up, but at the same time, he's given those players a chance, and it just hasn't worked out. And the response was fantastic. And the second half on Saturday, I thought we were brilliant, and had full control of the game. Mm. We didn't actually do anything different, I don't think. I just think we had someone to occupy their centre backs, and that's all it came down to.
But that was the impressive thing about it, Ped, and that's what's impressed me so far about him is there's nothing too complicated about this. It's getting the basics right and doing them well, and there's a lot to be said about that in a division that lacks real quality at the moment. I mean, we've had discussions in the past about how sort of the Premier League's been in a decline for the last few years in terms of quality. I think you're looking at more than half of the division, you're going to get the likes of West Brom putting in performances like that. I think you're going to get that a lot of places where you go. People who just simply want to get to 40 points and maintain and consolidate in the division. I think you need to find a way of breaking that down. Koeman's identified that is probably in its basic form of playing players in positions that they can play well. He's picking players who are in form. They've earned the right to be in the side. And it creates a harmony amongst the squad as well, because then people know. If you're, for instance, Yannick Bolasie, you've just come in, you know you've got to go some to get in the side to oust Morales or De La Feo or whoever it may be. You've got to put a real shift in training, and when you get a chance, you need to take it, otherwise you won't be playing games. And that competitive nature is something we've lacked for a long, long time. I think even in Martinez's first year, which, you know, obviously it appears to be a red herring in many ways because of how good it was and how bad he turned out to be. There were still players, the team picked itself to a large extent. Now we're seeing competition. I think now the challenge is get the personnel in, certainly before September or laterly in January. Get the personnel to support that, so we've got a squad of players that are competing with each other, not looking on the bench to the likes of Kone or Oviedo, who may think the time's going to be coming up to an end at Everton. Seeing them competing for places, because if you average out over the course of the season, they're not going to be good enough. I think we need to make that admission. I think Koeman's identified that as well. So when we get a squad in place, it'll be really interesting to see how far we can go.
Yeah, I think the thing is as well is in terms of Koeman's got a period of grace at the moment, hasn't he? So we can experiment things.
Honeymoon
period. And he's got this time just before the window, so we might be putting McCarthy in the shop window. He's tried him out at right back. You know, so he's testing and experimenting things. And if they're not working, he's being big enough to make the change and you know, bring other players on. But also instilling the confidence of, you know, if you do play well, you will get another shot at it.
Yeah, and I think just something you were saying there just before we go into the break, Dave, was the more important thing was we did have Bolasie there. We did have Ashley Williams. And how many managers would have rushed in to give
them... Oh, the bench was amazing,
you know,
on
to
Saturday.
Give them a game. You know, because we've been there before. There must be that pressure as well to get these big names. We've got a £25 million player, whether you think he's worth £25 million or not, sitting on the bench. You've got a £10 million defender sitting on the bench, and there was no pressure to get them on the pitch. So that, for me, was just as big as not starting Lukaku. So anyway, we're going to go into part two now. Don't forget, we're on Twitter as well. It is at the Blue Room EFC. Get in touch us. We'll be right back.
This is the Blue Room. 1 hour, everything Everton.
Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the Blue Room with me, Peter McPartland, Dave Downey and Andy Craven from the Everton Supporters Trust is joining as well. First part of the show, we've discussed Mario Balotelli for some strange reason. I don't know why we've done that. For far too long. And we touched on Saturday's good win at West Brom. Last night, gents, I thought it was a decent performance. I thought, you know, we did what we needed to do. Absolutely fantastic to see Ross Barkley get the captain's armband.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, it was a long time coming, in my opinion, Ped, as well. I think Martinez probably should have blooded, or tried, certainly, in some games when he was there. I think he probably needed that sense of responsibility as well. And I'm just so thankful Koeman's in charge of him, or a man like Koeman is in charge of him, because his career was in a real danger of dwindling under Martinez. Mm-hmm. I think he suffered more than most under Martinez. I think we've said that a few times. I think he's a tender soul, Ross Barkley. I think there's a lot more to him than meets the eye. I think you could certainly see that with his emotional post-match interview as well, on Sid Benson as well. Yeah. And I think he's a lad who definitely needs an arm around the shoulder, and it looks as if Koeman's nurturing him for the role that we all hoped he'd be in by now. And that's not a slight on him. I don't think we ever went too far in how much praise we heaped on Ross Barkley. He was, you know, touted as the next Rooney, and he was going to be the one that stayed and like the second coming type of thing in terms of a top player that we've nurtured and is one of our own. I still think he can become that, but I think his path to it has been filled with obstacles, none of which I don't think are substantially his own making. And seeing him with that armband last night, seeing him score the goal and seeing him play with a real authority as if he knew he was the leader on that pitch, it was really nice to see. It was an emotional thing. I'm getting shivers talking about it now. It was really nice to see a proper Evertonian taking the armband, taking responsibility, and he looked like he loved every minute of it as well.
I think what you just touched on there, he does seem like a quite sort of sensitive lad. Mm. And I think he seemed like he felt the demise last season as much as anyone. You know, he took it like a player and like a fan, which in some ways you don't want him to be like that. You want him to be a little bit more professional. But then we all want as fans to see players feel how we feel. So it's a double-edged sword, isn't it? But I was saying this last season. I thought the captain's armband, giving him that kind of responsibility, would focus him. I think is the key thing. It's focus him on the pitch. Make sure that he knows what his responsibilities are. Because he is, I know you're saying then he could have tailed off. I think there's still a danger he can tail off.
Yeah, absolutely, there is. It's still very much the foundations.
Yeah,
bed, I think.
He's getting to that age now where he can either become a big important player or he can become Jack Rodwell, where he just becomes another Premier, you know, ability to play in the Premier League, but you know he's the nearly man, and I think it's about fulfilling that now.
Yeah, and I agree. I think the thing is, he certainly divides opinion, because there's some Evertonians out there who don't rate Barkley, who think he's not brilliant. And I, you know, when he glid through, the midfield at Man City last year in the semi-final and slotted that last night after 65 minutes, you know, trying that free kick just shows, you know, the confidence that he's currently got, especially with the armband, and to do the celebration and the way he led on the pitch, you know, was tremendous to see. And I think, as you rightly say, Dave, Koeman, you know, will certainly nurture him as a talent, but I do think it's not a make or break season for him, but this is the season he really needs to kick on as a footballer and display all them attributes that we've been told he's got, which we've seen at times in flashes, but we just need to see more consistently.
Yeah, I think as well, we have an onus as fans as well. I mean, we've said it for a while now, how much people get on his back, Andy, you've just mentioned it there a little bit. I think there's an onus on us to support him. We know what he is, we know how good he is and can be. And I think that patience that everyone's talking about with Koeman and the team in general, I think that needs to be magnified a little bit more for Ross Barkley as well, because he's learning new things. He's going to be learning completely different methods in terms of training, tactical knowledge off Ronald Koeman. And it's all in the mixer, isn't it? I mean, I used to say, it used to be a joke on our show, Ped, about him going away with Roy Hodgson. And I used to be petrified of Ross Barkley going away with Roy Hodgson. Because
I'm petrified of anyone going away.
Yeah, well,
petrified of Roy Hodgson's wife.
Well, that's over just, now, isn't it? Holiday, so yeah.
And you know, for the conflicting things he'll be getting told, and Sam Allardyce is another kettle of fish. But the things he'll be getting in his ears from all sorts of circles, and I mean, it's that era that we're in now. Social media, he's on it himself, which is probably a bad thing for him as well. He gets absolute pelters, the lad, and I think if there's a time for us to sort of sit back and let him do his own thing for a while, do what Moyes should have done with him, and let him express himself, let him make mistakes, let him wean himself off that sort of game, because for so long under Martinez, he looked so hesitant. Sometimes he'd pick up the ball in some fantastic areas, and it'd either be really good, but generally it'd be really, really poor. The good performances, the top performances that we know we can put on, were the rarity, with the exception to the rule. That needs to reverse now, and I think he needs some patience with him and time to let him bed in, firstly, to what Koeman wants. He did it. I was watching him closely against West Brom, and I thought he was really positive. He played a good part in the goal for Morales. Then a couple of times in the second half, I thought he went missing a little bit. And he should have scored as well. That's going to help him if he can get some more goals.
He did it last night, though. He played a key role in the first goal last night, though. Just that, and that's where you actually want him. And he did it on Saturday. He's got to become... I think he's got to become more of a cog. You know, a really good cog.
Again, doing the basics well,
and I think that's where... I think Koeman will. I think Martinez treated him not like a kid. He treated him like a wonder kid. Martinez was probably too scared to
reel him in,
tell him off. Yeah. And I think what Koeman will do is and he's done it already by giving the armband. He'll treat him like a man. He'll tell him when he's done wrong, and he'll tell him when he's done right, and he'll tell him how to do right. And I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I think once his decision making improves in terms of what he does on the pitch, which I think Koeman will instill in him, he will just become that even better player than he is, than he currently is.
That decision making's been the thing that's blighted him, hasn't it? From whenever you've seen him, even in a Sheffield Wednesday in the Leeds top, which was a rarity, seeing him under Moyes, which he was punished for that indecision. And when you think about that fateful day at Blackburn, where he gave the penalty away, and he was sent off, was he? He was subbed.
Yeah, he was subbed. Yeah,
and it was that was almost like, Ross, we don't believe in you. We don't need your type here.
Yeah, he sent him back to.
And it did. It probably set him back 3, 4, 5 years. And the more you look back on that day, you think, oh, what are you playing at? That is not how you manage young players. You look at the direction in which Moyes' career went after he left Everton. I think it's an indication of how wrong that decision was with Barkley. And I can see him thriving, but I think it'll take time with him. And you probably got people shouting at the radio now. We might well get a few tweets about it saying he should be at that level now. He should be top class. What is he, 23 years old now? He should be at the level which we all expect him to be.
And he's already scored 2 goals this season as well. You know, with 3 games in, he scored 2 goals. Let's see how he goes on Saturday. You know, so he is adding that to his game.
Forget how good the season he had last season till February time, till it all started dipping.
And that wasn't just relating to him, was it? That was the whole team, sort of.
He wasn't fit last season.
So many mitigating circumstances.
So many. He should be better. He should be slightly higher than he is, but he's not. But it doesn't mean he won't be. I mean, I don't want to go into too much of the game. It was what it was. But I mean, Bolasie and Williams making the debuts as well. I mean, I thought Bolasie's ability started to shine through in the second half, and he got a bit more space. His crossing was absolutely fantastic. The less you say about his shooting, that's something he needs to work on. I fully understand why he's only scored something like 13 goals in the last 4 years, because it's erratic. But his crosses, I tell you what, if the big man pulled himself off the bench, he'd score with his crosses. Yeah. So I'd like to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I thought Bolasie done well. I thought Williams, you know, led at the back. He was vocal, what we've certainly been missing. In terms of another player who divides opinion, Lukaku, you know, 4 chances last night. He didn't hit the target with any of them. And I want to get your guys' opinion in terms of what you think of Lukaku. He's staying for another year, you know, £50-60 million pounds. For me, yeah, he's getting a shot away and his first touch was okay last night, but he needs to be in the target. And that didn't come through last night. A few key things for myself. Cracking first goal. McCarthy in the centre of midfield. It was visibly obvious that Koeman lost his rag because McCarthy wasn't doing what Barry was doing in terms of spraying the passes quick enough.
He shouldn't have picked them then.
And he dragged him off.
He shouldn't have picked them.
But he dragged
him
off.
If you want him to do that, he should have picked cleverly.
That's a big miss from
McCarthy. He dragged him off, didn't he? And the only other thing is when Morales was warming up during the whole of the second half, as soon as Coney got the call back, Morales' arms went in the air and he just went and sat down with the tail between his legs, which you want to see in an Everton player.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I want to see him getting on the pitch and doing well. But, you know, Coney come on and scored two good goals. And the first goal I thought from a passing and movement was fantastic.
Yeah, I think, pick it up on the Lukaku point to start with, Andy, I think it's gone a bit too far for this now for me, and I know the transfer sagas notoriously go on for some time. Look at the John Stones thing on the eve of the season. That was an ideal timing. For me, it stinks from his end, I've got to say, whether he stays or whether he goes. I think his attitude is atrocious, and I think he could be a real bad egg if it's allowed to fester. Now, we put our faith in Koeman, blind faith at this moment as well. Ped, as you identified, you know, you're willing to reserve comment on him until we've properly seen what this man can do at our club. You know, forget his record previously. He's still new to Everton, and I completely get on board with what you're saying with that. The Lukaku issue is one that needs to be nipped in the bud as soon as possible. Now, I've got two trails of thought on this. I think Everton need him in as much as we don't have anybody to replace him with in our playing squad. As much as Kone did well, scored a couple of goals, we know he's certainly not the answer. The second thing is Koeman, disciplinarian, as we've identified. I just wonder, is he cutting his nose off to spite his face a little bit because he knows Lukaku is the only one we've got at this moment in time. That may well change with what we might do between now and next week. But I think, does he make that extra allowance? Because from the outside looking into what Lukaku's been like, he was. I thought it was an absolute disgrace what he did at West Brom a full time. By the way, a lot of people give me criticism over that because nobody's seen it on the TV.
Yeah, when he just walked off.
He walked straight, made a beeline for the dugout, and I thought that's the end of him at Everton. No idea why that happened, and then 5 minutes later the manager's coming out and saying he's here for at least another season, and that's what stinks. At least another season. Who do you think you are saying that? You're nothing yet. You've had a good season. You had a decent season the one before that. You're not Aguero. You're not top class in Europe. You could be. More I'm seeing you. I don't think you will. Just rein it in a little bit. I know he's got an agent that it transcends egos.
He doesn't want to move.
But that's the thing.
Doesn't want to move. He's his best mate.
As Pet said off air before, you know, maybe he's not fit. But last night, you know, there was times that he picked up the ball in midfield last night and he knocked the midfielder totally off the ball, which is tremendous to see. So attitude for me was there last night. It was just that ability to turn, hit a shot and actually hit the target.
Do you think he's a finisher?
I don't know. I'm always looking. If someone starts quoting 50 million of me,
I think
50.
That's all he is, a finisher.
You think? Because I question our shooting across the board.
Is he
a game changer?
Listen,
50 million quid, is he a game changer?
But he's not, because he's not 50 million. His price tag's 75
million. 75
million. And Ronald Koeman's actually said, if someone bids 75 million and the board accepted, then it's out of his hands. So he's got a price tag, and that's the top and bottom of it. No one's met it. I'm led to believe that Romelu Lukaku walked into Koeman's office and said, "I'm staying."
What's the issue with that is, I'm going to speak about my own sort of good idea. If someone says to me, "I've got job offers all over America or whatever, Dave," there's people out there that want you, but no one comes up to me with a solid offer and says, "Yeah, here's your salary, here's a brand new car, here's a brand new five-story house or whatever." If nobody makes that offer, I'm going to be tentative with my current job. But then at the end of it all, if it's not forthcoming, I'll march into my boss's office and say, "I'm staying, Gaffer. I'm staying."
What I would say is, it's more to do with the times we live in. In the 80s, Neville Southall had chances to leave and wanted to leave and begged Everton to leave. Graeme Sharp had offers to leave and wanted to leave and begged Everton to let him go. And Everton said no. But it didn't get out till these people revealed of themselves. But we live in a world now where everything's played out. It was just interesting a couple of weeks ago when Everton said, "We haven't had any bids for him." So we've had all this drama and all this stuff played out and all this nonsense, and Everton, like, well, no one's bid for him.
The agent's a massive issue.
Well, he is an issue.
He's Balotelli's agent. He's got issues.
He controls everything, and that's just the way it is. So,
but his attitude stinks. For me, I don't.
The walking down the tunnel thing, I don't get it.
I'm probably getting pelters on Twitter now, and I hope that Lukaku does do it and proves me wrong. I really, really do, I hope. The final thing I'd say on last night's matches, and something you picked up at West Brom, Dave, and it's something I hadn't noticed. Funes Mori, when he went on the jaunt forward, he was toddling back as if, like, you know, we had all the time in the world last night. And I know we were only playing Yeovil, but that's another one.
Part three, we'll have a little chat about who we think will survive the cull in the next week. We'll be right back.
This is the Blue Room. 1 hour, everything Everton. Radio City Talk.
Welcome back to the Blue Room. And it's me, Peter McPartland, Dave Downey, Andy Craven. All the way through to 7:30. We've got plenty of time to get stuck into this. We were just talking just before the break about Funes Mori. I think he is one of the players at the moment who really needs to look out for his place in the team. But I think there's a few more who need to look at their positions at the club, because I think I can imagine in the next week, I think there could be a few comings and goings. I think it could be a really exciting week once the Stoke game's out of the way. I mean, Andy, who do you think could possibly be, you know, his head on the chopping block,
I agree with you over Funes Mori. I think McCarthy, just seeing Koeman's reaction last night, could be on his way as well. I think just my view is that Deulofeu, I think Koeman is trying him out as best he can at this moment in time.
I think he likes Deulofeu.
But I do think he's putting him in the shop window. Kone last night scored 2 goals. Is he in the shop window? They're the main ones who I think are, you know, potentially going to go. And I know we talked about Lukaku, and I'm interested to see if he's still an Everton player on the 1st of September next Thursday.
You say shop window, Andy. That's not doing them justice, is it? Because none of them are going to get actually bought out of the list you've just said there. It'll either be low moves or... You
know, Coney's in.
Do us a favour, we'll pay you to
Coney's
take
somebody. Coney's in Rapids for the shop.
Where's the assay? The assay's just touring airports around
not,
Turkey.
He's not bothered, mate. He's on a boss ledge.
I don't know what's going on.
Couldn't care less.
And it's a shocking indictment of the former regime, isn't it? Every time you look at it, the squad, I mean, Darren Gibson, I've no idea why he's still there either. And that contract was weird as well.
I'll tell you, Ronald Koeman did not give him the contract.
No.
What it was, they seen an asset and thought, well, we'll tie him down.
Yeah, and then we can monetize
and we'll make money out of him, which they probably will do in the next week. So,
what about Morales?
I think Morales is one of the first names on the sheet at the minute for Koeman.
I think he likes him.
And the thing is as well, he was in the last chance saloon for many Evertonians, wasn't he? Mm. And another one whose attitude was questioned. But what I've seen of him in the first two Premier League games is commitment, work ethic. I mean, looking at it again, contrast to Lukaku walking down the tunnel, Morales was one of the first over to the fans and he was delighted. He was screaming his head off. He was fist punch in the air, real side of him that I've not seen before. I know he's one of them who we used to say was a player that if he did something well, he'd be one of them who milked it. He'd absolutely milk it. He'd love it. He loves the adoration and all that. But he looked like he really cared about this, and he made positive noise when Bolasie signed, saying, "Listen, I'm grateful for the competition. Bring it on." That's exactly the sort of thing we want to hear. I reckon you're looking at a man who's revitalised under Koeman. He's appreciating having a top manager working with him. And he goes against probably all the other Belgian attitudes at the moment, doesn't he? In the fact that he's willing to get his head down and work for the club.
Not to get in the Belgian team, not with the new managing structure over there.
He's going to have to work doubly as hard.
I think one thing with Morales is, I think it's about channeling his aggression. Mm. If you channel it in the right way, I mean, I think on Saturday, you know, we scored the goal from him running from left to right, charging their defender down, winning the free kick, you know, got a corner, and next minute we're 2-1 up. That come from him running, you know, 10 yards to just want that ball. That's channeled aggression. That's giving someone a job to do.
He enjoys the press, it looks like, as well, Pep.
I think he's always been a key player while he's been honest. It's just that Manners didn't want him. It's as simple as that. He gave him a 5-year contract and didn't want him. It was ridiculous, you know. I think De La Feu's fine. I think he likes him as that as a striker, but I think he'll probably end up back on the right wing because he's got so many attributes that other players don't have. The way he can just whip that ball into the box. And we've seen that partnership flourish last season with Lukaku
against poor sides. But
I don't think that matters though, because I think there's a lot of poor sides. But it's true though. I've had this.
No, it is. I just said before, didn't I? More than half the league are poor.
I've had this argument about Zlatan. He'll score loads of goals, but he's a flat track bully. But you don't. That's how you become great and win leagues, by being a flat track bully. If you can take care of all the other sides, and I think there's a lot more poorer sides than there are good sides in the Premier League. So
it's just the work rate, isn't it, with De La Feu? He gets so excited about playing. He dies a death after about 30 minutes.
But that's
fitness thing's an issue.
That's a fitness thing that he needs to get sorted. And again, under Martinez, he was allowed to get away with a lot of things. His timekeeping, I believe, at the training ground wasn't great, but it was allowed. You know what I mean? Whereas Koeman's come in and gone, you know what? You've got to be in for half eight. You're having your breakfast, then you're going for it's a tough region. Listen, when he went on loan with us, and he was at Seville and he was under Emery, he hardly played because he was still a kid and he didn't have any kind of structure and there was no discipline. Surely now he's at the point where he's going, you know what, if I want to make a career for myself, I've got to start putting it in. And I think he will. But watching last night, I think, you know, as you mentioned, Darren Gibson is someone I'm sure maybe a couple of offers. Brian Oviedo worries me to death.
He does get pelters, but people do need to remember that he broke his leg, and he was okay before he broke his leg, and he just hasn't been the same player, has he?
No, and I have sympathy with him because it's not for the want to try, and he's not one of them, is he?
And he was up and down last night, wasn't he? He was trying his hardest, and I think that injury has really just affected, you know, his overall performance. Yeah. So he might be out the way as well.
The Gibson one's baffling. I don't even think we get much money for him if you put him up for sale. I think he goes on loan, and that's what the best you can hope for.
What about Cleverley? You know, the armband got past to Cleverley last night, and everyone was looking around. When Barkley went off, it was like looking around. Who's the band going to? And it went to Cleverley, who was at right back.
I don't think he has a long term future. Cleverly, I think he's a squad player, he's a decent squad player to have as well. But he's another one like Gibson. You're looking at him and you're thinking he's a little bit soft, and you know he's not standout attribute. I'm looking at him thinking, yeah, he's a Premier League player. He's probably a bottom half Premier League player. Where does he fit in? I can't really see it.
What I like about Cleverley though is I think he's got a bit of fight in him. I think he's got a little bit of devil in him. He got that from Man United. And I think he's the type of player who'll stick around and fight for his place, and Koeman will actually respect that. Mm. Because as I was alluding to before, I don't think it was a mistake, because I actually think it was good man management playing McCarthy last night after what happened on Saturday. But actually Cleverley was the natural replacement for Gareth Barry in the way Gareth Barry started the season. He's more of a passer, he can get his foot in, but McCarthy's more of we know what he is, he's a runner and he can get forward, but I think Cleverley was more of a natural replacement last night.
Where's his best position, Cleverley? Because I think he suffers from that, Cleverley. Nobody knows where he plays well. Where's his best position? I couldn't tell you where I'd have him.
It depends how you set up, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. But how old's he now? 25, 26 maybe. Yeah, Cleverley maybe a little bit older than that. At that stage, if you're still looking at a footballer saying it depends where he's played, we don't know his best position, I think that's a massive problem. I think you need to say to him, look, you play your best, or you've got a track record of playing at your best in the centre of midfield, or you're better out on the left or the right or whatever. I look at him and think, well, he sort of fits in there. He does a job there. Mm. And that's all I look at him and think, he's doing a job there. I don't look at him and say, if Gareth Barry's injured, he's the man I want there. I don't look at him if it's just a game.
No, he's a squad player, isn't he?
But then again, I don't look at him on a wing and say, I'd have him there, because he's not a natural wire player and he's not that quick. So I just struggle to see where he fits in. I don't think he'll play much this season.
What I would say about that is that last season, it was you were either a holding midfielder or you were an attacking midfielder, and there was no in-between. Whereas this season, I think there is an in-between. I think Gareth Barry's showing there's an in-between at the moment. He's more of a passing role where he can go forwards and backwards. We're not hemmed now because we've got Garner, who's honestly, he's the greatest thing since sliced bread. He can just get round the pitch, can't he? And that other midfielder just becomes, and kids wait for it. In the 80s, we had these things called midfielders. They didn't have, they weren't defined as attacking midfielders or defensive midfielders. They were defined as midfielders, and they did everything. So maybe that's what Cleverley can do. We've asked you for some Twitter questions, and Dave's got his big phone out.
I have, yeah. Tony Olden's just been in touch. He said, realistically, how many signers do you think we will get over the line by next week, and who do you think they'll be? Tough one that.
I think we can get three.
Do you think this is a bit of a lottery, by the way? The amount of players we're linked with, do you know, we're just sitting there waiting for someone to say yeah?
No, I don't.
And it'll all happen on transfer deadline day.
Some of them have been closer than people imagine, and others have just been pure agent nonsense, and some of them have just been for their own new contracts at their clubs, because clubs have been very clever and done that. I think we can still get three, and I think centre forward is one we're definitely looking at. There's the
right back's Perez, close at the moment, isn't he?
No, that's not happening. From what I've been told, I've been told it's a load of nonsense.
What's his name?
The lad from Southampton.
Scored the whopper against Arsenal. No one's ever seen him.
From what I was told this morning, that's not even happening. So
hopefully it's to cover something else up. I still think we'll get
Martina.
I still think we'll get a goalkeeper.
I think Hart's still going to happen.
I think we're being very clever with Hart. I think we've drawn a line in the sand because we can. It's up to Hart now to have a look at what he wants, and maybe in a couple of days. Well, maybe after Saturday's the weekend, he'll come back and have a think about it, or Man City will have a think about it. Do they want a player at the club who's going to cause, I don't think he's going to cause trouble, but you know, Joe Hart, third choice? I don't think so.
And I think we definitely do need a goalkeeper. You know, I think Joe Hart will still happen, but and Stekenberg's done really, really well. But at the moment, you know, once the transfer window closes, he's only one clanger away, isn't he, from being. And then we're putting Robles back in, so I'd certainly think the Hart is definitely going to happen.
I think we need to single out Stekelenburg there as well, by the way, because I think we wouldn't have 4 points if it wasn't for him. I know he's made Well, a couple against West Brom were what you call routine saves, but the two against Spurs, I don't think he had any.
But if you're a Spurs fan, I think, you know, the lad's 3 yards out, he needs to be scoring. The second one, brilliant save. Yeah. The first one, you're expecting the fella to score.
Yeah, I don't have that feeling where, like I did with Nigel Martin, looking at Stekelenburg, thinking, we've got a keeper who's probably past his prime, he'll still be top class for us.
And what about this Kone?
I just like the idea of signing England's number one goalie and sort of making that kind of statement. Yeah.
Don't care about England, Pat.
No.
Especially not anymore.
So Kone from Sunderland, he's supposed to be staying, going, what, you know.
I don't know.
Is it?
Probably more sense to signing Moyes.
Moyes has laid the law down, but we'll wait and see.
Carl Almond Doherty has asked, any reason why Cleverley got the armband when Ross went off and not Williams or any other player? That is interesting, that because...
Well, he was looking round, wasn't he? Yeah. He was, you know, he passed it to, I think he passed it to Gibson, and Gibson was looking who to pass it to. And I don't know where the instruction come from to actually give it to Cleverley, because I was wondering where it was going to go. So that's, you know, a spot on question, really, in terms of why wouldn't it go to Williams or, you know, maybe one of the more longer standing players.
And Ben Davis asks, do you think Kone still has a role to play after last night's performance?
I think it's a difficult one, isn't it? The one in the corner when he came on against Tottenham and he tried to control and it just went out. So you've got that flashing in your mind, Premier League game, and then you've got two goals against Yeovil. I don't think he has.
I can imagine that in the position we're in at the moment, we can't really sell him.
You can't be precious over it, can you?
We can't really sell him because we can't bring a couple in. And at the same time, where would Kone go? Because unless someone comes knocking from China... He's only going to go one way, and that's down. So maybe he's happy. I think he's come out today and said that it's the first time he feels fit since his injury last year. So maybe he's prepared to fight. And listen, if he's prepared to fight for his place, then I've got no problem with him knocking around the cup. He's not one of those players that you just think to yourself, you're useless. You've got no right to be here. He does turn up now and again and do something good. I mean, don't forget last season, he was performance like West Brom away, really come on and change the game. Yeah. So if the manager can define a role and the lad knows that he's not going to be starting every week, then I don't actually think he's someone who... you know, is taking a wage without doing nothing. Mm. He's not one of them. I will pay them respect of the fact that I do think he tries and puts the effort in. He's just not good enough.
That's the thing, is I don't think he's good enough. I'm surprised in general a lot of things haven't been addressed at this point. But that's why this last week is just going to be chaos. I think you're gonna see as many as half a dozen leave, and you're gonna see. I think we probably might end up with more than three coming in.
It's just whether you can get the deals done. It's not for the want of trying. I tell you that now. It's not for the want of trying. I think in the early part of the window we went big. We tried to get a couple of fancy names in, and those players. If there's no, I said to myself, if you weren't an Evertonian, why would you be attracted by Everton after last season?
But in terms of game time, isn't it? You know, like West Brom come in for Galloway, didn't they? And asked, you know, could we have him on loan? And Koeman is thinking, he can go for a season. Why don't we go out and just go to Manchester United and offer a loan for Rashford and just say, he's not getting a game under Mourinho. He's probably not going to get a game. Mm. We mightn't be able to afford to buy him for whatever reason, but let's just loan him and get him for it.
You know what? That's actually a very...
And just tempt him. And if you come back and say
no... The pertinent thing that come from what he's just said there, though, is... the money thing. Now, if it come from all sorts of places, this £100 million figure at the start of the summer. What's our net spend at the moment? It's still negative. So, I mean, I'm surprised no one's asked it on Twitter, and I do think it's a bit of the elephant in the room at the minute. And it's funny because I've just had a look at Baz's Twitter page, who you work with on Toffee TV, formerly of this show as well. and he was saying, you know, he's dished out money on getting rid of Martinez, getting Koeman in, his backroom staff. Yeah. He's put a lot of money in before we've actually signed a footballer. But I don't know, there's this little thing that I've got thinking, hang on, are the finances there?
It's called being an Evertonian, Dave.
Yeah, that's right, mate, yeah. Are the finances there?
There are finances there. I'm sure there's finances there.
The thought hasn't even creeped into my head.
Yeah. I think really? The finances there. It's just a long-term plan, isn't it? He's putting the foundations in place.
There was a really good article on Grand Old Team about 2 weeks ago, and it was actually in relation to FFP as it exists in the Premier League. And what it actually said was that, I think it was something like, I'm sure you can find the article. What it actually said was, until we sold John Stones, we were a little bit stuck with our wages, because there is a wage cap in the Premier League, as you can only spend what in relation to what you make, and at the moment we don't make that much, and all these big clubs are obviously making money hand over fist. And we had to get an injection of money in, and the John Stones thing was the injection of money. Now, some cynical people out there will say, no, you're just spending the John Stones money. But according to this article, it was a very good article, was basically saying, no, that was the injection of money we needed to get the ball rolling. So if that's true, I don't see any reason why we need to sort of stop now. So, again, I think there'll be ins and outs over the next week. We'll get rid of a bit of dead wood, hopefully. Players will start thinking to themselves, I'm just not going to play football full stop if I don't. Because he's made that clear already, hasn't he? You know, not giving people squad numbers and stuff like that. So we'll go from there. But we'll move on. Stoke on Saturday. For me, without going too in-depth into the game, because I think it's far too early in the season. You can't really go, well, he's done this and they've done that. They've drew a game, they've lost a game. They won last night in the League Cup. But for me, it's a big game in terms of if we can win it and go into the international weekend.
And the end of the transfer.
You know, and the end of the transfer. It just makes everything a little bit rosier in the garden.
Yeah, I agree. I think, you know, in terms of where we were last year, you know, the Stoke game, we got beat 4-3. It was a last-minute penalty. If we can go into this game and come out of it with a positive result, i.e. a win, and then go into the international break, solid team moving forward, I think, you know, everyone will be happy.
Yeah, I think it's... I'm glad we're getting them at this stage of the season because, I mean, they've been hard on doing the last couple of years.
They won last night, didn't they? And,
yeah, and I tell you what, Crouch scored an absolute whopper. He still got it, by the way. Yeah, I think it's a different Stoke than what you traditionally used to see, and even though I still think they've got that battering ram effect if they want it, I think they'll come to Goodison. I can see Koeman planning for both eventualities as well. I think we have the personnel to do that as well with Williams there. Funes Mori still worries the hell out of me. I was going to say something.
I don't think he'll start on Saturday.
No, I don't think he'll start.
Unless he plays three at the back, which...
But I think you've got to play four against Stoke. I think you've got to have a traditional back four. Be interesting to see how Holgate continues. I know we haven't mentioned him, but he's been fantastic.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
I think he's class. I think Seamus Coleman's got a real job on his hands. If Koeman sees him as an out and out right back, in the future, I think Coleman, you know, will be looking over his shoulder about his place. And I like that at Koeman as well. I know we touched on it a little bit with the West Brom game, but we went from a 5 to a 4 back to a 5 to see how the game. Nothing wrong with that as long as the players are aware of the positional senses and tactically they know what they're doing. I think that sort of approach will work against a side like Stoke, who can mix it up in attack, get the physical lads on, you then crowd the box yourselves. I think we're set up nicely. I expect us to win on Saturday.
So do you think he'll finish with the same, start with the same team that finished against West Brom, taking on his Tottenham mentality into the West Brom game?
Yeah, I think Bolasie's a shoe-in now. I think Williams will come in, Funes Mori. Back four, I think will pick itself in terms of Holgate at right back, Jags, Williams, Baines, Garner and Barry in the middle, who he obviously rested last night with Saturday in mind. And then I think you're looking at almost, well, I'm going to say 4-4-2. It'd be interesting to see what he does with De La Feu for me. If he puts De La Feu just behind Lukaku,
I don't think he'll start De La Feu.
Do you think we'll go? Do you think we'll play 4-4-2 in a sense?
We'll play 4-4-1-1 in a way. But yeah, I think I've got a feeling he'll play Morales and he'll play Bolasie because the physicality of we've seen last week, De La Feu always suffered with the physicality, and I think he'll suffer in this one. Let's just move on, Andy. Everton Supporters Trust, you've got your AGM coming up soon.
Yeah, we've got the AGM, which is on Saturday the 3rd of September. It is the international break. It's at 2 o'clock at the Khazar Hotel up on Hope Street, and we're looking for everyone to come along.
Just remind people what the Everton Supporters Trust do again.
So the Everton Supporters Trust are like, for any Evertonian out there, just representing the Everton community for fans to get involved with and really just interact with the club, so work with the community, work on things such as ticket prices. We've been instrumental in partnering with our cousins across the park, the Spitters of Shankly, over the food bank, fan support and food bank. We've successfully hosted Football Focus last year before the Chelsea game in the FA Cup. And in terms of what we're looking at moving forward, we have got an announcement to make, or looking to make an announcement around the old Littlewoods clock. That we're looking to get repatriated back into Goodison. So we're actively recruiting members, and we'd ask every Evertonian to come down to the Casa next Saturday to join up and hear more. Or we're always in St Luke's before every game. We'll be there on Saturday before Stoke, so we'll be there from 12:30. And also they're having an Alan Ball tribute day, so please get in there and support the Everton Heritage Society.
You get a free badge as well, don't you?
You get a free badge, yeah. And there's all sorts going on in there. So it really does enhance the match day experience, as it's known. And plus, you can talk to all of us from the Trust.
I don't need no stinking badge. I love going in the church before the game. Anyone who hasn't been into St. Luke's before the game, yeah. I know Everton have got their own little hub and you've got the fan zone and all that. But, you know, if you're in St. Luke's, we're the Gladys seat. And take, you know, go and. I sound really old now. Go for a cup of tea in the church. Like,
that's what
I do. And then I always go upstairs and I always go and see the lads, because you've got some good mates up there now. And whether it be the Valletto Society, Everton Chile, or whether it be, you know, the Everton Supporters Trust, or when Skies are Grey, or Toffee Art, or
the,
you know,
tribute day.
There's all tribute. You know, there's always something going on. There's always ex-players up there.
Yeah.
Derek Temple. You see Pat Van Der Nau. Nev Southall's up there now and again. There's all these little things. There's all these history stuff set out as well. There's a guy who sells every programme ever you've ever wanted. It's like this little hidden gem. It's fantastic, this little community of just different little Everton things, and it's brilliant. It's well worth just popping in before the match, and the lads are always there, and they put so much effort into it as well, and it's the, you know, don't forget, everyone thinks, oh, you go to the match and go for a pint. These lads are in there every game, giving their own time to these different little bits and bobs. And it's well worth, even if you just go up there once and just go in and see the lads and just learn a few things, it's well worth your time.
Just on a personal note about the Trust as well, I mean, a lot of people, I don't include myself in this, but you feel alienated by organisations, or maybe even intimidated about sort of getting yourself out there and meeting new people in that regard. And Angie introduced me to them at the shareholders meeting a few months ago, didn't you? And you genuinely couldn't meet a better set of lads, and so welcoming, very humble people. They're not in your face and trying to press certain views on you about the club. They're there for the good.
We want different views. Yeah. That's what
exactly.
It's all about.
It's meant
everyone
to be diverse, isn't it? Yeah. And the thing is as well, it's not just the football side of things. You won't get people banging on about, I hate Bill Kenwright too, I love Robert Elston. You won't get, you might get that if you stay long enough and you let someone there with have a pint with you. But it's as diverse as you want it to be. Your involvement as much as you want it to be as well, Andy, isn't it?
And it'll be that relaxed at the AGM. So just a reminder, AGM, Saturday, the 3rd of September, 2 p.m, the Casa, Hope Street.
Just got to mention Mickey, who's going to be on the show in the next few weeks, actually, because he told me he can do Wednesday night.
Oh, yeah, he messaged me. I forgot to message him back.
Yeah, he messaged me on Facebook before he caught it. Fanzo Mickey comes on a Friday on Steve's show. With Jay the Red, he's just said, completely back onto the footy chat, he said, "All right, boys, can you see a future for Daniel Lennon at the club? I personally think a couple of people are in front of him. # Offsky."
He's another. But
he was all right last night.
One thing I would say is, it's all right us sitting here going, well, he's in danger. You need a squad. And when you get to, like, you know, January, and you've only, you know, you're starting to look at your squad and go, hang on. You do need 25 good players in your squad, so it's all right to sit and go, well, he might be off. You need the likes of Anna Lennon. You need your Cleverleys. Yeah. I think they might be starters, but I think you need those kind of players. So we'll have to wait and see. As long as he gets rid of the Niasses and the
McGeady's
and people like that.
Where is he, by the way?
I don't know. He's on the
Flanagan's. Yeah. I don't know. Don't want to cast any aspersions. Right, that's all the time we've got tonight. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.